This podcast episode is brought to you by the Visayo Travel Blogging Masterclass. If you're struggling with how to start and design your blog, how to position your business online, how to create and implement a unique content strategy, or how to sustainably grow your blog to a 5,000 to 10,000 monthly blog audience, then you should head over to masterclass.thevisayo.com. That is thevisayo.com. to enroll for the Starter Blogging course. Now, this course has been supported by the British Council and it was created by the award-winning travel blogger Divisayo to help you start your blog, position your business online, and stay winning. To get a $20 discount, use the code TheBigDreamer20. TheBigDreamer20. Cheers. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. It's currently 4 p.m. here in Lagos, Nigeria, 4 p.m. And yes, I'm super excited, as usual. So today, with me is Anna Ajala. She's a journalist, she's a writer, she's a producer, video producer. She's a lot of things, and she classifies as a big dreamer because she does it all, and she is, you know, very purposeful and looking to make a positive impact. And that's why I decided to invite her today to inspire you and so that you can listen to her journey and listen to something that will make you take that step you need to take. Perhaps you might be making at a crossroad trying to make a decision that might decide the next 10 years of your life, and you might just be scared. Hopefully this podcast will help you make that decision. One thing I should apologize in advance for is, again, network issues. So you might listen to Anna Ajala speaking while I'm talking. It wasn't so while we were recording. It just happens to be so while I was listening to the edited or to the version we recorded. So please, what will I say now? Try and understand, and I hope that the network or technical problems does not stop you from understanding all that she said. I really hope you understand, and I hope you don't get confused at some part where the network had, you know, its thing going on. Anyways, I'll leave you for now. Enjoy. Welcome to the Big Dreamers Podcast. I am your host, Divisayo, an award-winning travel blogger, a tourism promoter and strategist, and the founder of TravCP. This is a safe commute created to empower big dreamers to dream bigger through the inspiring stories and life experiences of top influencers, industry leaders, and entrepreneurs. The theme for this season is empowerment.
Very well, thank you, sis. Thank you so much for having me on your awesome platform. And yeah, I look forward to our discussion today.
I'm so excited you said yes. I was super, super like, oh, she said yes. And that was about a month ago. And I'm happy that we're able to make it happen today. So for those listening that do not know you, as you can tell, Anna is not, okay, well, she's Nigerian, but she did not grow up in Nigeria. But she'll tell us more of her story soon. She is a traveler, journalist, mentor, and a believer. At least I'm saying what I have been able to, you know, do a research on and seen online about you. Most of this will be clarified on this podcast so that we can all know more about you. So I want to know, when did your journey start? And before we even get into your journey, let us know more about
Thank you so much again for having me on. I'm a journalist, so I began working at the BBC 6 years ago, and I also work with other organisations, especially over the past year that I've been freelancing, and I've just completed 8 months of traveling and working around West Africa. I'm also a very big advocate for supporting Black communities, especially here in the UK where I'm based. And I'm a believer. I'm a believer in, you know, spreading positive content, connecting with amazing people, and just spreading positive messages through the communities that I run and through the stories that I produce as a journalist.
So when you say believer, when I saw believer, to me, what I read, my understanding of believer is Christian. I'm like, wow, wait, someone who writes, like, people don't boldly say it and write it. So that's what, oh, that was my interpretation. So to clarify, when you say believer, you're
absolutely, and you know what, I think it starts with my faith as a Christian, which you made reference to. So that is very much so correct. So it starts with my faith, and then it continues with my self-belief in myself. Mm-hmm. So the word believer has many different layers, but those are the main areas that I mean when I say it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that you're also bold to say what you believe in also. All right. So now, talking of journalism, why did you choose to become a journalist? How did the
absolutely passion come about? It started from the age of 15. So my English teacher was super lovely, and she was always, you know, really supportive of how I presented myself in lessons, how proactive I was when it came to, you know, being set certain tasks and stuff. Mm-hmm. And she said, wow, Hannah, like, you seem like you'd be a really amazing storyteller. You should look into journalism. And I did the thing that many people would do, I think. I went to Wikipedia, I searched the word journalist, and I just saw these photos of these people talking on TV, talking on radio. And it didn't even seem like a job. It literally just seemed like, okay, so you're basically being put in the position to inform audiences of what's happening, or just letting them know about a particular story or about a particular thing. So that always kept, stayed in mind. And I would definitely say I felt more confident about it the more years that I went along. And then when I got to university, I became very proactive. I was attending a lot of networking events in London. And, you know, with the free time that I had in university, I thought it would only make sense to work on my own content. So I created my own blog, and then I started making like little documentaries. I bought a an iPad and started filming stuff on that. And then I, you know, when I had a little bit more money, I bought a professional camera. I flew to Nigeria, I did a little documentary there, and then I went to New York and I did another documentary there. And I realized that I was basically building up my portfolio. So when it came to the chance where I would have a sit down or interviews with people working at all broadcasting organizations, I could tell them this is my experience because this is what I did. I can understand in some creative industries, it can be quite tricky. What it used to be quite tricky, shall I say. I think now we have so many resources and information. But back then, I can understand it's a bit tricky because you need to get experience in order to work somewhere. So I use this as my way of saying I know how to report in front of a camera at a starter level. I know how to plan a documentary. I know what makes an engaging story. I know what audiences I'm targeting when I make certain things. So when it came to that interview with the BBC in 2014, it actually turned out being one of probably the best interview I've ever had till this date, a whole 6 years ago. And I say that because it was literally just a conversation and me talking about what I'm passionate about. And if anyone is talking about what they're passionate about, then you'll clearly see that. And by the grace of God, I was given that opportunity to work at the BBC. And it's been a really amazing experience since then, which led to this massive trip that I took, which I'm sure we'll talk about more later.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So I studied all the main subjects growing up, English, math, science. Definitely wasn't a very big academic person, but when it came to college, I specifically studied English, performing arts, and sociology. And then at university, which is the last classroom I was ever in before entering the big world of work, I studied sociology and anthropology.
I'm trying to make the connect between what you studied and what you're currently doing, because you said while you were in school, you did not waste time, you started building up your portfolio. And most times that would happen if you're possibly, you know, if you're studying journalism, for instance, or you're a mass communication student, your lecturers will let you know, oh, make this video. But you were not studying.
And I'll tell
any
you why,
courses,
Desire,
but yet, still took it upon
I
yourself
actually,
to do this.
Again, as I mentioned, university was a time for me where I was actively networking, like, quite a lot. And I spoke to lots of journalists. And if you even look at amazing journalists, they could be in the UK, they could be in America, they could be in Nigeria. A lot of what they studied weren't actually just journalism-based subjects. And there's an incredible journalist that studied history or English or science or a language or etc. because they wanted to further exercise their interest in this particular subject. And I find that with employers, to show that you studied more than just journalism, it actually shows that you have another kind of area of expertise that people could come to you for. So that's what I learned. And, you know, obviously I do know people that did study journalism and it worked out well for them, which is absolutely great. But for me personally, I'm just very grateful to have studied something else because I feel like it further helped to shape my interests and areas of speciality. So, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it made you better positioned for different opportunities, number one. So it also helped shape your mindset. I mean, I don't have the knowledge you have as a sociologist. Yeah. You study sociology. I'm not sure what exactly you were being taught, but you have, you know, something I don't know basically. What else? What I want to even applaud is the fact that you were very proactive. What I was trying to point out was the fact that you did not study mass comm. You were not told to do these things, but yes, you did them, notwithstanding. So, and that can only be done if because you are passionate about it. Now, when we talk about passion, you're clearly passionate about telling stories. What else would you say drives you? Would you say, for me, let me use myself an example. I, of course, promote destinations in Africa. What drives me is changing the African narrative. I don't like the pictures being painted of the African continent on media, both locally and internationally. And the truth is, if nobody decides to tell the stories, African story, then the problem will continue to be there. So I decided to take matters into my hands and start writing stories, making videos and all that. So that what drives me
And I completely agree with that. Basically. Absolutely.
So what would you say?
I would say challenging stereotypes really drives me, and it kind of ties in a bit to what also drives you. I just find that over the years, understanding that I not even just the organization I represent, but the little following that I have the power to build conversations and change perspectives over how people view and see things. And that really drives me. I don't find any, like, there's so many things that I find humbling, but one of them that always really touches me is when someone has watched something of mine or read or listened to something of mine and they have learned something new. So I think it's continuously always informing the public and just challenging stereotypes towards Black women, towards solo female travel, towards music artistry, towards entrepreneurship, and towards lifestyle, feminism, you know, many of the areas that I work in my industry. It really drives me knowing that I'm able to give the audience a different takeaway based on something that they may have checked out of mine, just, you know, changing their mind about something particularly. I'm very grateful to have that, platform and to have that network. Yeah.
I love that. So talking of network, I think back to myself and I remember when I was in university, I said I did not network well. I'm listening to you now. You said when you were in university, you were doing a lot of networking events. This is something I started after I was done with school. I didn't have this mindset then. What drove you? What informed you? Was it your parents, your brothers, your sisters? What informed you to have this mindset of oh, I have to network? And the truth is, the best time to start networking is in school, where you meet different people from different backgrounds.
I think it was freedom. And I say freedom in the sense of, in university, typically, you're in lessons/seminars for 8 to 10 hours a week. And I had a really nice, lovely group of friends. When it was time to hang out and have fun and whatever, we would do that. But when it was time to work, it was time to work. So I was really grateful that I could have my social time, my study time, and my creative time. And I literally just used that time to work on something that I was passionate about, on something that I was interested in, and it was journalism. So I thought, Hannah, you have this spare time, you know, your work. I was also working part-time at a call center, so I was able to, you know, afford my camera and like recording devices and stuff that I would buy for very cheap anyway. And I was just really passionate about creating stuff, about telling stories. And I had really just supportive people around me, whether it be family members or friends that were very clear, clearly informed about what I was interested in. And I literally just went out there and did it. I think that a lot of young people, we often put a lot of pressure on ourselves that we have to know this and we have to know that. And it shouldn't really be that way. It should just come from an area of interest. We're interested in doing this and we want to pursue it and just go for it. Just try. Because with me, I was literally just doing everything on my own accord, uploading things on my YouTube channel. It was almost kind of like a hobby at the time, but I just took a lot of passion in it and I took time out for it. And I'm so glad that I did that with no societal pressures, because I can imagine how difficult it must be for younger people now. But it was just generally like my little, you know, bit of fun that I could do. And I always got positive support around me. And I think that's what motivated me to do more. Like days off, okay, I'm going to write a blog post, you know, on this magazine cover because I think it's quite interesting. Or I'm going to talk about one of my favorite journalists. So I'm very, very grateful for that time. I'm always, I'm someone that doesn't really like to procrastinate. I don't really like laziness. I don't spend time with people who are lazy as well. I think it's just all about a really healthy balance. You know, if you want to have a chill day, so be it. But I can't have that consecutively 7 days in a row because I'll start to feel a bit like a potato.
I love that.
Yeah, thank you.
I love that. I love your value system. That's awesome. So, one thing that you've said now is just do it. Don't wait for the perfect situation. Don't wait for the perfect opportunity. You make use of what you have. So that's one thing. Yes, a lot of people ask me, how do I start my blog? How do I start my YouTube channel? I tell them, I started with my phone, my YouTube channel. I started with my phone. I didn't wait to have a camera, even though that would have been awesome. But when you have a passion, usually your passion drives you to get things done. So that's the word. I was going through your blog. That is, this is annaajala.com for everyone listening. And is a quote you put in the first or third paragraph. Art, freedom, and creativity will change society faster than
It's been a while since I've heard the quote. So I'm like, ooh. I wrote it. Yes, music to my ears.
Yes, and that was the same way I felt. I was like, wow, this is deep.
It is not. So, I can't take credit for that. But can I tell you another one of my quotes, please, Josiah? So one of my quotes that I coined in January 2018 is, it's your attitude and character during the trial that will determine the outcome of the testimony. I'll repeat. It's your attitude and character during the trial that will determine the outcome of the testimony. It's a life lesson,
very,
right?
I'm writing it down. It's very powerful.
Because, you know, 2020 so far, obviously not writing off the year. I'm very grateful for the opportunities that God has brought my way this year. But I'm sure everyone on this planet will not give a short answer for how they would describe 2020, because we've all been affected, you know what I mean? And I just find that holding on to that ray of light, that positivity, even despite going through all that we've been through, if you're able to just keep your head up and keep on moving, then the testimony is just going to be incredible. So that's just one thing I just always remind myself of through any trial, is how I am through it that will determine how I get out of it. Yes, so it's your attitude and character during the trial will determine the outcome of your testimony. Yeah. No problem.
Thank you so much for that. I love it. While still on your site, I mean, we could see everything you have done in terms of your journalism career. You've interviewed the likes of Femi Kuti, what's his
Jidenna?
There's this Nigerian that's light skin. I keep forgetting his name. Jidenna, yes. So how does it feel when you interview
musicians,
artists, and leaders?
It just gives me a newfound admiration for people in their craft and how hard they work at it. And it really just inspires me as I continue on with my journey, like someone that is just openly and happily speaking about it. You know, I've spoken to Mr. Easy after he's had like an hour's sleep and is, you know, a couple of hours away from performing in his first, Detty Rave concert in Accra. You could just see the passion really just bursting through, and that just, it gives me so much more respect and admiration for artists. You just learn so much as well. Because with me, when I speak to them, it's more than just the music. It is, you know, your story. Tell me, you know, what it was like creating this, and you know, what are your thoughts on so many people investing back into the African continent and et cetera. So, I think with many of the big figures that I've spoken to, it just continuously gives me more respect and more adoration for their work, the work that they do. Thank you so much.
Doing so excellent. And you, I love the work you do. If I haven't said it, I'm saying it. So talking of the work you do, I was watching some of your documentaries on your YouTube channel. Yeah. Most recently is the one you released on your West African trip. And I was like, girl, this girl is not here to play. I'm like,
so I connected another thing that's amazing about Lagos. Like when you're in the creative scene, it's so easy to find videographers and photographers and stuff. So it was literally just freelancers that I already knew on the ground, and we just made this magic happen, and it was the best. It was extremely hot filming all of those scenes, but I think what's made it so warming for me is all of the amazing feedback that I'm getting from it as well. Like people from all over the world have seen it, Chop Daily shared it on their platform as well, and it's just great to be able to further put that message out there and show the beauty of our continent. It really means a lot.
Yeah, and funny thing is, I was like, I saw all the scenes to the video. I was like, this girl is not far away from our house. This thing was shot right here. Hey, good. That's to say that it was really great. Shot, the music, everything was really well done.
For the past 2-ish years, I've mostly been working at BBC Africa. And the incredible thing about working in such an exciting hub, based in the UK where my office was, is that you're learning about different parts of the continent every single day. So there were a few countries that stood out to me, and that is what basically constructed as part of my trip. Before also leaving, there were a few projects that I was working on that also included me going to each of these places as well. And again, the beauty of working at BBC Africa is knowing that there is a colleague or someone that you could speak to in one of these countries, as well as being part of the travel blogging community. That's where I met you, Fasayo, where you'll find bloggers in all these different countries. So I had so many advantages. There were some rough connections. I had not friends or anything, but just connections is a great starting point. People that you could ask questions to about the country. And then I decided that it would be Ghana, which I've been to. Absolutely love Ghana, and starting off to celebrate the year of return was also really exciting. And then I went to Sierra Leone. That was my first time. Had a couple of colleagues there, as well as my friend's family home, even though she wasn't there, but her family took me in like their own and were absolutely amazing. And then I went to Gambia, then Senegal, and then ended it in Nigeria. So those were the 5 countries across the span of 8 months. I thankfully arrived in Nigeria after the pandemic, and that's where I spent the last big chunk of my time there. So I would say what inspired me was, again, just knowing so much more about the continent, working on it every day, wanting to work on more positive stories coming out of the continent. And I felt like the only thing that was missing was me physically being there.
Amazing. So for those listening, because people usually assume Africa is
if people
country,
still think that in 2020
West Africa, they just assume it's a country. So West Africa consists
I know,
of
but it's just like do
some
I have time for
do.
These people? I don't know. But continue, sis.
Clarify 16 countries. So she was able to explore 6 countries, 5 countries. Awesome. So what was for anyone who hasn't visited any of these countries you went to Ghana?
Had one.
What
Ghana, yeah, returned literally walking down any street in Accra and hearing American accents, British accents, German, anything. People from all over came over. So that was a highlight because everyone was everywhere. Sierra Leone, the food was just life changing.
Mm-hmm.
The fish, the meat, the veggie meals, everything, the best food. Gambia was a love through friendship. I made very, very close friends and spent a lot of time with them, and they literally just became like family to me.
Huh.
Senegal, I would say the scenery, the freeness of the streets, and picking up French. So just cultural artifacts and, you know, really nice views of the city Dakar, where I spent a lot of my time in. And Nigeria, the vim. That's the only thing I can, just the vim.
Nigeria.
That's the best way to describe it, because Nigeria just has so much soul, so much personality, and just so much vibrancy. No one could ever call that country boring. 36 states, different languages, customs. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's that place is just something else.
I love it. I feel like Nigerian tourism board.
That would be amazing. I mean, you know, I think they need to really wake up first, because I just feel like they don't really understand the potential that they have. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. I was thankful to not only spend time in Lagos, but I went to Ibadan, where my family are originally from, and Abeokuta. And there's just so many really nice places that you can visit. But when you notice the maintenance of these tourist hotspots, you'll notice it doesn't have a lot of attention at all, because, you know, the local governor or people that are meant to look at these things, they are nowhere near their priority list.
Yeah, that's why yourself, myself, and every other young millennial and change maker is here. That's what we're doing, the work that we are
exactly.
doing.
Exactly.
With time, we all grow into these leadership positions and get things done. So talking of being a leader, I also saw on your site
that absolutely.
You're a mentor.
So
who do you mentor?
I ran a community
what's your mentorship
which was
program
founded
about?
5 years ago called Pursue Your Passion. Now, we're really passionate about mentoring and helping people in different career sectors. And we launched this in 2015 after having, you know, conversations with younger people who were leaving university and just felt really nervous and unsure about how to take their next steps. So we thought, how great would it be to hold networking events with people from so many different industries to offer tips and advice? So we've done industries in tech, in healthcare, finance, fashion, you know, so many different ones. So I think right now we're on like a transitionary period, you know, with COVID and stuff like that. And we're just sort of just trying to think of what we could potentially do next, because we've done a lot over the past 5 years. So I'm very passionate about, you know, offering advice and tips. And, you know, I feel like the more that you get yourself out there, building a bit of a following, people will message you random things like, oh, can I send you my CV? Mm-hmm. Or so I always try to help out where I can, or if someone's interested in a particular job opportunity, I'll try and offer as much help as I can, you know, because it's important to, you know, as well as helping, but just realizing that, I mean, if there were two of me, if there were two Hannah Jellas, oh my gosh, like, I swear the other Hannah would just be exhausting herself and helping people as much as possible, but there's only one of me, so I can only do as much as I can. But yeah, I'm very passionate about supporting others as much as I can.
Yeah.
Ajala is my surname.
Ajala. Is Ajala your surname or just your brand name?
Yes, 100%. 100%.
Are you serious?
Of course, wow. It is. It's not a nickname. Yes, it is my surname. No, because I'm aware of, obviously, the legendary traveler.
I think it was your brand name.
I first read about him a few years ago. An amazing, amazing man. But yeah, mm-hmm. No, it's not a brand name. It's my surname. And both my mum and dad, their surnames were Ajala before they met as well. Yeah, not at all.
Wow. No. Are you kidding?
No, they didn't so check to make sure. But they are 100% not related. Yeah.
Awesome. So... now I know when I was I mean I've seen your pages it seems yeah, like you were yeah. like four different pages on Instagram, one about Black travel meetup or something. But what are the different
yeah absolutely so yeah I run Black you British travel meetup as well this. We launched in 2017 and that's why I'm so grateful for creating my Twitter page, sorry, my Instagram page, Ajala Travels. So I have my main page, Hannah Ajala, journalist, work, life, random quotes. And Ajala Travels is just documenting and sharing my travel experiences. And I'm so grateful for that because through that, I connected with so many other Black and Black British travel bloggers. And I thought, that's amazing. At the time, I was connecting with a lot of pages that document and show mm-hmm. images of Black people traveling, but I noticed that they were always American or they were always based in the US, and I thought, oh okay, that's interesting. I wonder what how it would be to create a community okay. here in the UK. So I met up with Doreen, who her page is Move with Doreen, and literally we met for the first time. We had some talks over pizza. And then we, you know, decided, let's make a meetup. So we met up in London. We sent the word out to people, I think with 2 weeks' notice. We were like, okay, if you're Black, if you're in London, come and meet. We want to build, like, you know, a travel community. And that day, I think about 50 or 60 people showed up. And it was amazing. And we thought, wow, like, this is actually the start of something great. And since then, we've been doing really amazing meetups on so many different topics. We had our first big summer event at Facebook HQ in London. And it's just so great to have connected with people along the way. I've made really amazing friends, taken trips together. So I'm really grateful for that. And it's generally just like a fun hobby, a really great thing that I like to facilitate, just to meet with other open-minded people. You don't have to be like a crazy traveler, but I just find that travel is a good meeting point, and if like two people that have traveled maybe twice in the past year meet together, that's something that they could have a good mutual conversation about. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's always a story. If one person's been to Accra mm-hmm. and another person's yes. been to Lagos, that's already a great thing yeah. you can share. If one person's been to Brazil and another person has been to Colombia, those are great stories there. So it's so amazing to have that community, and I'm so mm-hmm. grateful for it, and I really, really do love running it. So yeah, it's well done, Pursue well Your done. Passion,
so is that the only
Black British Travel Meetup, and We Are Black Journos, which launched in 2018. And it was a way to celebrate and connect Black journalists originally here in the UK, because British journalism is incredibly undiverse. 0.2% of black journalists make up the industry here in the UK, which is really, really bad. And I was so used to being the only black face in so many rooms in journalism. And the reason why that's problematic is because the public, aka society, essentially rely on journalists to provide information. And if the society that we're speaking to aren't reflective in our newsrooms, then it kind of defeats the purpose of what we're doing. So yeah, that's a really big issue. So I use the platform of We Are Black Journos as a way to connect and celebrate black journalists in the industry, just to show that we're higher than that 0.2%, and just to show that, you know, we are bigger than the numbers and we're doing great things. And it's been really incredible to see that go ahead. We're in the process of relaunching our website, and, you know, we have so many people from different organizations like Bloomberg, Time Out magazine that are supporting us and wanting to partner with us as well.
That's awesome. You're doing a lot, and that's amazing. And makes me think,
Abby. Exactly. I think it is, you know, because some people will say to me, "Oh my God, Hannah, are you crazy?" And it's like, you know what? It's just, it's passion. It's not for show and tell. It's not to show, "Oh God, I'm busy. I'm doing 10 things at the same time. I'm so great." I do find my time for rest, but I'm just very passionate about these things, and I'm able to manage it. I'm able to have 6 to 8 hours of sleep a night. I'm able to exercise and go for dinners with friends because, you know, I've been eating a lot since I came back to London. So yeah, I think it's just all about balancing it. And I'm also very grateful to have a team who support me with all my endeavors as well.
Awesome. Yeah. So we're going to touch on your background now. Before we end this, you are Nigerian in the United Kingdom. So when
are you talking about Nigeria, from like from
did
childhood?
You stay in Nigeria at all? From childhood.
Absolutely.
Did you grow up in
London? I was born in London, United Kingdom, and then I my first time coming to Nigeria, actually, I was 3 months old. And I stayed for about 2 months. My mum told me I was meant to be born in Nigeria, but things changed, plans changed. But Nigeria is actually the country that I've visited the most in my life. So literally every year from a little young age, I would always go with my brothers. And I'm very grateful for that opportunity. My parents worked incredibly hard, you know, came from a no-class background, as they like to call it. That's not even low, but no. So come to London and work really hard for my brothers and I so that we could, you know, get the best opportunities out of life. So I'm very, very grateful for that. And I'm also very grateful to have been familiar with my culture. Unfortunately, me, Tigbo, Yoruba, Dada, but I'm trying, I'm taking lessons. I don't believe in language shaming. I'm a very confident person in myself. Yes. You know, there were certain times I blended in very well in parts of Nigeria. Times I didn't. Being called Oyibo and telling someone that's actually an incorrect term because my skin is black. I'm a black woman. Okay, and I'm also British, because that's the place that I know very well, and I'm also Nigerian, so I'm very proud of my layers, and I embrace them all very well. I know a lot about my country journalistically, you know, even more than some people living in Nigeria, you know. So I'm very grateful just for my upbringing and my background, and I'm still learning the same way we all are as human beings every single day.
We are.
Yes. Yeah, so
then you stop learning, then you start dying. I don't know who gave me that. Do you know when you did this? Yes. Yeah. So do you know whenever I travel to other countries, they always like, oh God.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. We're very old people, aren't we? It's so true.
So what advice do you have for young creatives and aspiring
journalists? Great question. I would say in a year like 2020, where a lot of us have spent a lot of time indoors, I think it just proves how many incredible ideas and things can really go well, so long as you just continue to work hard and just execute as much as you can. You know, don't feel afraid about starting something new. If there was a cap on how many people can create a YouTube channel or a blog, then you wouldn't have permission to create a new one when you go on the website. So don't ever feel like, oh, you know, it's I'm outdated and etc. You know, research, like, I'm so grateful for this period because I've just read so much and I've learned so much and I listen to so many podcasts. There's so much information out there. And just, you know, go in with an open mind and ready to learn new things. Because, again, as I say, the information is out there for you. It's just up to you to go and do it. And make sure you start the right way as well. It's a Bible verse, it's in Ecclesiastics, but it says, if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. So don't wait when everything is perfect. Wait, you know, do it when you feel right, you have the information, you have the knowledge, and you want to start this thing or you want to continue this thing. And also remember, rejection is part of the process. It's very, very normal to hear no's. And the reason why it's very normal, because it means you're working hard. It means that you're pushing and pushing and pushing. You should actually get used to hearing a few of them because it means that you're putting in work. So don't feel discouraged. Keep it up. Keep going. And remember that Rome wasn't built in a day. Woo!
Yes, ma'am.
No problem.
Thank you. So you mentioned podcasts.
Oh.
What podcast would you recommend people to listen to?
Journalistically. They're quite deep. I don't want anyone to go to sleep. But knowledge is power.
Really?
I'm currently listening to Witness History. It's a BBC World Service series. You can access it from any part in the world. And I'm learning about Black history. And I'll tell you something very interesting, Fusayo. I was reading about the last surviving slave of the transatlantic slave trade. And did you know she was a Yoruba woman? Amazing. She was a Yoruba woman and she was very proud of her heritage. And yeah, it's absolutely amazing. Just the random things that you learn about. And they're very short podcasts. They're about 15 to 20 minutes. And yeah, I just find it really refreshing to learn something new because too many people are relying on these, you know, social media figures to tell them their news rather than going to the actual news source and finding things out for themselves. So knowledge is power. If you're interested in a little bit of history, I would definitely suggest listening to Witness History on the BBC World Service. Yeah. No problem.
Gracias, thank you so much.
I'm telling you. Listening. Just trying small. But I'm very grateful to have been on this podcast. Thank you so much, Fusayo. You rock.
No worries.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for being here.
Please, yeah. Your socials, Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. I'm Hannah Ajala. And my travel page, Ajala Travels. Hannah Ajala is also my YouTube page where you can watch my travel film. Feel free to pop a DM and just always happy to connect and talk to lovely people.
Awesome. For those listening, Anna is spelled H-A-N-N-A-H. Ajala is spelled A-J-A-L-A.
Thank you.
Anna Ajala. Thank you so much.
Yes, and we are done with today's podcast. If you're currently listening to me, that means you stuck to the end, even with the network issues and the technical problem. And for that, you deserve some accolades. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it was inspiring, and I hope it has motivated you to take the step you need to take. There was a part we mentioned a quote on our website, and I realized that while listening to the podcast, our voice kind of canceled what I said because of, you know, the technical problem, like I said. So now let me say it again in case you missed the quote. It said, art, freedom and creativity will change society faster than politics, which was so awesome. Like the sentence alone spoke in volumes. And then she gave her own quote, a different quote, which says, it's your attitude during the trial that will determine the outcome of your testimony. She said, it is your attitude and character during the trials. So it could be the trial of this COVID-19 that will determine your outcome of your testimony, which, I mean, both were resounding, both were, I mean, they spoke a lot of message in volumes, and everyone gets a different message based on the experiences we are going through in life. Yeah, so I hope you enjoyed the podcast, and as usual, please feel free to share on your social media and tag @thebigdreamer_ on Instagram, so that we can reshare your content as well, so that others can know what you learned and others can be motivated to come listen as well. Yeah, that's it for today's podcast. Please feel free to follow me on Instagram, Twitter, everywhere @thefisayo. I have a travel blog. You can visit that, thefisayo.com. I have a YouTube page, also focused on travel. It's also thefisayo. That is spelled thefisayo. Till next time, do not forget to stay awesome, stay inspired. Peace. This episode is brought to you by TravCP. TravCP is a Black-owned travel company with a vision to position Africa to be the number one tourist destination in the world. TravCP currently does this by marketing tourist destinations in Africa and connecting tourists like yourself to tour guides, experiences, and destinations in Africa. To book a tour guide or destination in any African country, visit @TravCP on Instagram and send a DM or click the link in TravCP's bio on Instagram. Now, TravCP is spelled TravCP. TravCP.